It's good to be back with you. Good to be back in town. And was out of town last weekend. Was spending time at annual conference. It's our yearly gathering of clergy and laity from United Methodist Churches within our West Ohio area. And had a great week of meetings and work and business to attend to, and had a chance to see colleagues. And it's good to be back with you again. I'd just like to share with you before I start into this sermon entitled "God Won't Give You More Than You Can Handle." We've actually experienced at this church this morning a little bit more than we can handle, and God has been good despite our challenges. I just want to give thanks to our media team up there. Shelby has done a great job. When we showed up this morning, our pro presenter software had totally malfunctioned and fried, so we had no screens for 8:15. And Shelby has been working her fingers to the bone for the last half an hour to get us whatever we can on this screen for 9:45 and 11 o'clock service. So I just like to give all glory and praise to God for that one. Can we just give God a hand for what he does? And then thanks to our media team and for Shelby for coming through up there. And so we get into these moments in our life where we oftentimes share with people statements and things that we think are going to smooth a situation over. We say things to help people or to make them feel better. And oftentimes we attribute these sayings to God when in fact God never said these things. And so we're in the middle of the sermon series called "God Never Said That." 2 weeks ago we talked about the idea that God wants you happy above all else in your life. And we discovered that God never said that. There are things in our life that we're doing, poor decisions that we're making in the name of happiness that don't honor God. And in those moments, God isn't necessarily concerned about our happiness. He's concerned about our holiness. Next week, we're going to talk about the idea that it doesn't matter what we do as long as we don't hurt anybody, and God never said that. The following week, we're going to talk about the idea I can believe what I want to believe as long as I'm sincere, and God never said those things either. These are true-ish beliefs that we hope to be true. We would wish to be true. They sound to be true, but in the end, those things are very far from what God actually teaches. Now, for today, we're talking about this notion that God won't give you more than you can handle. And many of you are in one of three places right now. Either you're coming out of a season of great challenge in your life, or you're in the middle of a great challenge in your life, or you're about to step into a great challenging time in your life. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing when we go through these difficult seasons, how quickly life can get complicated, how full our minds and our hearts and our souls can get, how quickly our minds spiral out of control to where we get to the point where we say, hey, you raised the white flag. I can't take it anymore. I mean, I'm not fit to do this. This is more than what I can handle. And some of you are going through this right now. Some of you are going through a lot. You're going through financial challenges. Maybe you're constantly dealing with a bad report from your doctor with medical and health-related issues. Maybe you have relational challenges and issues or job security issues, or you have a child who's out of control. You know, whatever it might be, we might find ourselves in a circumstance, stepping just outside of a circumstance, or about to step into one. But make no mistake about it, we all have extreme challenges in our life. And the weight of those can get very heavy in our life, to the point where we want to help our loved ones. We want to help our friends feel better about it. And so we make statements like, well, God helps them who helps themselves. Okay? Now, I'm not sure how helpful that is from time to time, and I'm not necessarily sure how true that statement is, because when bad things happen to us, we start to think, well, listen, maybe I didn't do enough. Maybe I just didn't work hard enough, and maybe my daughter wouldn't have gotten hit by a drunk driver. That stuff is sometimes even horrible to use when you're trying to help somebody work through grief or a challenge, to say something like, hey, God helps those who helps themselves. Or we get to the point where we say, hey, listen, when I can't take anymore, we offer condolences like, well, listen, when God closes a door, he is going to open a window. Now, that's not going to be helpful if you're on the 12th floor. That's not going to be helpful if you're on the 12th floor of life and you're desperate and you have all kinds of challenges going on. Or then the coup de grace at the end is, well, hey, listen, you know, I understand you're going through trials and challenges, but just know God won't give you any more than you can handle. And basically what we're saying in that moment, or I'm feeling in that moment, is, well, listen, I'm feeling like I can't handle this. And if you're telling me he won't give me any more than I can handle, then I don't really think too much about God. And quite honestly, I don't think too much about my capacity. I'm just going to be depressed and miserable. And we got to be careful that what we say about God and what he says and the things that he says to us are absolutely true. Oftentimes, what we do is we misquote a very powerful verse of Scripture, and you can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, when we make this statement, God won't give you more than you can handle. And here's the Scripture that we misquote that Paul wrote in a letter to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. Provide a way out. And so we need to realize that God never said that he won't let you endure more than you can handle. He's talking about temptation here. He's not talking about endurance. He's not talking about the trials and challenges of life that come our way and how we can handle those things. He's talking about something entirely different. He's talking about sin, and he's talking about the nature of temptation, and we're going to cover that in weeks to come. We're going to come back to this verse. But this verse does not speak to the idea that we won't get more than we can handle. As a matter of fact, the Bible is filled with examples of people who got more than they can handle. Can I get an amen? I mean, there are all kinds of people in Scripture that got more than they can handle. If you look at Gideon in the book of Judges, he raises his hand and he says, listen, I'm the weakest in my clan. I'm the least in my family. Moses, who led the children out of Egypt, he said, listen, I'm slow of speech. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a great leader. I'm getting overwhelmed by the nature of the work that the people around me require of me. I can't do what it is that you want me to do. I don't have what it takes, God. How about Esther? She utters these simple words, I'm afraid. I'm too afraid to be able to step into this call of representing the kingdom of Israel before the king. And this is just too much for me to bear, too much for me to handle. Consider what the author David writes in the book of Psalms in chapter 38, verses 4 and 8. He says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. In verse 8, I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. Suffice it to say, translated in words today, I don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes. Now you consider all of these folk, and then you consider Jesus. You consider Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 4, verses 33 and 34. Well, here's just a snippet. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He even says to God, hey, listen, take this cup from me. God, I can't endure the cross. I can't endure the pain and suffering. I'd rather have there be another way. Isn't there another way? I can't handle this. This is too much for me to bear. God, would you take this away from me? And this is God in Jesus Christ. This is both God incarnate, God in the flesh, but also God in the spirit. This is who Jesus is. He is God. And yet he's struggling with his father saying, this is too much for me to bear. Have you ever been in that spot where you've just raised your hand and you said, this is too much. I can't do this on my own. It's too much for me to bear on my own. I had a week like that a couple of months ago. I had a week like that a couple of months ago where the car started leaking radiator fluid and had no reason why or to know why it did. Then the washing machine started leaking water. And every time I turned around, it seemed like something new in our life was leaking. You guys ever have those moments? You're wondering why there's water in the refrigerator, and you're wondering if your ice machine's shot or if the refrigerator's shot, the washing machine's leaking, the car's leaking fluids, and then you walk outside and you push the garage door opener, and it's that moment where all of a sudden the garage just decides not to open. And then you realize you got a problem with the garage door opener. And that happened to me too the same week. I pushed the garage door button. All I heard was grunting and groaning. And when you hear grunting and groaning and grinding sounds and your garage door won't open, you just reach for your wallet because you know you're just about to get chunked there. And we just knew that that was going to be an experience as well. On top of all that, I got a kidney stone attack that same week. That same week, I was laid up with a kidney stone in excruciating pain like I would never wish upon my worst enemy. And we've all had weeks like this, but interestingly enough, that wasn't enough because taxes were due that week and we're trying to scramble to get those done. And we had issues going on in our family and challenges going on at the church, as always. And that week that all this happened just happened to be the week leading up to Easter. It just happened to be Holy Week. So we had Monday, Thursday services coming, Good Friday services, Easter Sunday. We had stuff going on at the church on Saturday. And suffice it to say, I wasn't at my best. I had cried out to God, God, I can't handle this on my own. I can't do this on my own. And so this notion that God won't give you more than you can handle, I'm telling you, as your pastor, I've never felt that way before. As a matter of fact, I felt the opposite that week. I felt overwhelmed. I felt like I had all that I could handle and more, that I couldn't handle anything else. And everything that happened, every time something bad would happen, every time a car would break down or the washing machine, we found out it wasn't working, I just felt absolutely overwhelmed. And I just raised my hand to God and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I don't have what it takes. Life is too much for me to bear. Have you ever been there before? Am I talking to some of the right people here today? I mean, maybe you're there right now today. Or suffice it to say, if you're not there right now and you haven't been there in a while, it's going to be coming into your life. So why would God allow you to have more than you can handle? Why would God allow you to go through these struggles and trials and overwhelm you or allow you to be overwhelmed with life and challenges? Because he wants to teach us a couple of things. And that's what we're going to discover today. He really wants to teach you two basic things when we get to this moment where we're overwhelmed with life and there's too much to bear. And the first one is this. He wants you to depend on his presence. He wants you to depend on his presence. And so that's why he might allow you to experience times in your life where life is overwhelming. You see, when life is going well, when all things are easy, when life is going good, we forget about God. And we don't pay attention to God. We think, hey, listen, we've got this. If we're honest, we spend a long period of time in between our conversations with God when things are going well. So we kind of give God a head nod when things are going well. Hey, God, I think I know you're there, but I've got this today. I'll be good. And so we go on about our day. I don't even need you right now, God. Thanks, but no thanks. Life is great. Life is good. And I can do this on my own. But when stuff starts to go downhill, when things start to blow up in our life, that's when we tend to remember God. Oh, God, I need you. Hey, God, where are you at? God, throw this man a bone because I need some help in life. And that's just the way human nature is. When things are going well, we ignore God. And when challenges come in our life, we talk to God and want to know where he is. And we want to know what's going on. And I see this happen all the time in the life of the church. You know, someone will start coming to the church all of a sudden, and they'll show up in church. They haven't been in months or in years, and their life is a mess. Their finances are a mess. They just broke up with their boyfriend, and they don't know what to do with their kids because their kids are bouncing off the walls, and they have struggles with their job, and life is a mess. And then they come into this community of faith, and they discover God's grace and God's power, and all of a sudden they feel the Spirit moving in their life, and things, you know, things aren't necessarily changing in their life, but their attitude and their heart and their soul is changing. And then all of a sudden they come for like a few weeks and a month and God is moving in their life. And then you read on Facebook that they found themselves a new man. And they found themselves a new man, and all of a sudden they're no longer attending church, and you don't see them at church anymore because, well, life got good again. They found themselves into a relationship, and that part of their life is now fulfilled. So they're feeling better about life, and things have gotten good, and so there's no need for church. There's no need for God anymore because life started to go well again. Maybe you know somebody like that in your life, or maybe that kind of speaks of where you are in your life. We get to this moment where God is just not as important enough anymore when life gets good and when we start feeling happy. But the problem with happiness is it never lasts through the crises and the challenges. I mean, challenges are going to come, and we're not always necessarily going to be happy. And in those moments, we get on our knees and we go to God in those crises, and again, we say, God, I need you. Where are you at in these moments? And when life gets difficult, we're drawn back into the presence of God. If only to say, God, why would you let this happen? And that's not a bad prayer anyways. That's not a bad place to be. At least we're talking to God. And oftentimes when we say to God, God, why did you let this happen? Where are you? The beauty is we're going to God with these challenges. We're saying to God, I need you in my life. That can be a good thing when we depend on his presence and come to him and ask him those kinds of questions. How about Jonah in the belly of a whale? You guys remember that story about Jonah? And Jonah was off track of what God wanted him to do. God told him, I needed you to go to Nineveh, and I need you to preach the gospel. I need you to share your love and faith with them. I need you to help people find a relationship with me. And so rather than going to Nineveh, he actually gets on a boat and goes in the opposite direction to Tarshish and decides he was going to do his own thing. He decided the thing that would make him happy would be to go his own way. And so he ignored God. Well, a big storm came up on the boat, and the sailors finally realized that it was because of Jonah. And so they took Jonah and they kicked Jonah off the boat. They literally made him walk the plank. He walked the plank, and he jumped out into the sea, and to tighten up the story a little bit, a fish came along, swallowed him up, a giant fish, and he's in the belly of this whale, and here's what he utters in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 7. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you. Now watch this. It wasn't in his success, but it was in his distress that it brought God closer to him. It was in his challenges. It wasn't in the good times. It was in the bad times. It was in the struggles, and it wasn't in the smooth times. It was in the belly of this whale that it caused him to call upon the Lord. It caused him to run to him in prayer. And this is when he turns to God. It was in his distress. It was in this moment of challenge and trial when his life was ebbing away. That's when he called on God. And it's the same for you and for me. When we are in distress, it's usually when we crave a relationship with God the most and we come to Him the most. We offer up our challenges to Him the most. But the great challenge of our life is that when we get in the middle of these storms, we start to wonder about God. You know, we start questioning about His presence. Why is this happening? What are you doing? And oftentimes we pray one thing and we feel like we're getting the opposite answer. We pray for one thing and we feel like the opposite is happening in our life. And that's when we get discouraged in these storms and in these trials. And we wonder where God is. He must not care anymore. We wonder if God's even at work anymore. We just wonder if we've done something wrong or we've deserved this. And we ask all of the wrong questions. When in the moment we should just say, hey, God, I need your help with this challenge and trial. God, guide me and lead me through this. We should never let the presence of a storm cause us to doubt the presence of God. Amen? We should never allow the presence of a storm to cause us to doubt the presence of God. There are going to be wind and waves in our life. And when they come into our life, we can know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's actually going to try to draw us in a little bit further and a little bit more closely in those moments, in those trials, and in those storms. And so you're in a storm right now. And it's time to call out to God. It's time to seek Him, just like Jonah did. When your life feels like it's ebbing away, when you're living in the midst of your distress, the encouragement of God, the challenge of God in His Word is to come to me. And if we do, He promises He will reveal Himself. And He promises in that moment that He will draw you near to Himself. And the more you draw near to Him, the more He's going to draw near to you. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. And in those moments, He will allow us to experience Him as we experience more than we can handle. He won't necessarily take away the trial or the challenge, but He'll show up big time, and we'll create a greater dependency on Him. And so as we're drawn to His presence, we get a chance to remember His goodness. We get to be reminded that we need Him. And there's just so many times in our life where we've hit rock bottom. There's so many times in our life where we've hit the challenges and the challenges are overwhelming and we say, I don't have what it takes. I don't know what to do. I have nowhere else to go. And we wind up turning to God. We wind up talking to God. We wind up praying for the first time in a while. It forces us sometimes to even open up Scripture and read on our own because the first time we've read in the Bible in years, other than having the pastor read it to us on Sunday mornings, it forces us to talk to other people, a friend, about this relationship with God. And it causes us to sometimes even discover Christ for the very first time when we hit rock bottom. You know, God has a plan for the challenges in our life, and He can redeem all of those challenges and use them to allow us to grow closer to Him. And so if your life feels like it's full of ups, and if life feels like it's full of downs, you can realize that that's really life. I mean, life is filled with mountains, and life is filled with valleys. Now, we love the mountaintop experiences because it's up there. We feel like things are smooth sailing. There's a joy and a happiness in our life. And oftentimes, we try to avoid the valleys, and we don't like to be there. But we best experience the presence of God in the valleys. That's where we're best aware of God's work in our life because we make God aware of our needs as we go to Him. That's just simply out of Psalm 23, a very popular passage of Scripture, particularly in verse 4, when it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." It's in the valleys where we best experience the presence of God. And I have to say to you, I'd rather be in the valley with God than on the mountaintop, unaware of God and struggling to live life on my own. Think about that for a second. Isn't it a better place to be than to be in the valley with God, knowing He's there, rather than being on the mountaintop, unaware of God's presence and struggling to do life on our own? So if we find ourselves hurting right now and we can't do this thing on our own and we feel like we don't have what it takes, God might have you right where He wants you. He might have you in a position where you need Jesus. You need to give your life to Christ for the very first time, or maybe it's time that you return back to Christ and you give your life to God all over again. You return to a habit of prayer. You return to a habit of attending and participating in the life of a local congregation and a church. You start giving your life to God and you experience His teaching in a whole new way as you depend on His presence and power in a whole new way. And that leads us to the second thing that God may want to be accomplishing in your life right now. If you feel like you're walking through the valleys, if you feel like you have a storm in your life, if you feel like life is too much for you to bear, it's because God wants you to experience His power. First of all, He wants you to depend on His presence. And secondly, He wants you to experience His power, His supernatural power. And the problem is we're not experiencing God's supernatural power in our life enough because too many of us are trying to do life on our own. Too many of us are trying to control what's going on in our life. We want to have control of this and control of that. And when we do that, we wind up penalizing ourselves. We wind up removing this source of joy and hope and power that God wants to provide for our life because we're saying, God, we don't need you in our life right now. We've got it. And it cuts off God from being able to do an amazing work in our life. I remember when I was a kid and we were remodeling the basement of the house because we had some flooding issues and the carpet was up. And my dad and my brother were downstairs doing some work. And I was just up at the second floor there in the kitchen area. And the stairs weren't too tall because it was a bi-level and the door was open. And I all of a sudden hear this blood-curdling scream from my brother. And I come rushing over the door only to see my dad smacking my brother's hand and hitting my brother as hard as he could. And this lamp comes falling out of my brother's hand and crashes to the floor. The bulb is blown up and the shade was glass and it shattered all over the floor. And Matt is in pain. My brother Matt is in pain, and he's about a year and a half younger than I am. And I wanted to know what was going on. I mean, I thought my dad was beating my brother. I mean, I was about ready to, I mean, I don't know, children's services on the hotline. What's going on here? I mean, I didn't know what was going on. And Dad explained to me that the lamp that they were using had an electrical short in it. And my brother had grabbed a hold of that lamp. And the lamp was literally electrocuting him. It was shocking him. And he couldn't let go of it. And my dad couldn't grab a hold of the lamp himself to pull it out of his hands. So what he did is he just smacked my brother. He smacked his arm, hit him really hard, and it jostled the lamp out of his hands, and the electrocution stopped. And it gave me a whole new picture of what was happening down there in that basement. But I think it gives me a whole new picture, and maybe for you today, of what's happening in our life. Because oftentimes we are holding on to this life on our own. And we're holding tightly to our finances. We're holding tightly to our workplaces. We're holding tightly to our school and our relationships. And we're holding so tightly to these things that we don't even let God in on these things. We don't even let them go and allow God to do new things in our life. And when we do that, the pain of life and the trials that happen in our life begin to shock us and electrocute us from the inside out, and we get overwhelmed. And we want to let go, but we can't let go. We don't know how to let go because we are so attached to being in control. We're so attached to this idea of not opening up our hands and letting go of our finances and putting them in God's hands, or letting go of our relationships or our schooling or our life and putting them in God's hands. And so we clench our fists and we want to let go, but we know that we can't because we want to be in control. But the pain of life through these trials continues to shock and overwhelm us, and we hang on to this lie that we're not going to be given more than we can handle, and we wind up trying to do life on our own. And what happens is that God comes by and realizes that he knows that we need his power in our life, and oftentimes the power of God will come along and slap us or smack us a little bit until we learn to let go of our life and put faith in him. And to put our trust in him and to believe in him again, to realize that we don't have the strength to be able to hold on to our life on our own, and to realize that the shock of our trials and our challenges are killing us from the inside out. And God wants us to do one thing. He wants us to let go. And as my brother needed my father, my earthly father, to come along and slap him into some reality, we too were created and need God in our life. And we are in desperate need of him. And he's going to come along and nudge us with his power from time to time to realize that we cannot handle everything on our own, that we need God's activity and power and presence in our life. And this is a refreshing thing. It's a refreshing thing when you finally realize that you're not meant to do life on your own. It's a refreshing thing when you realize that you're not meant to handle everything in your life. It's a refreshing thing because when you come to that realization, it actually frees your life up to experience God's power. It frees your life up to let go of life and to allow God's grace to come into your life, to allow his unending love and unconditional love to come into your life, to realize that God has everything you need. And so sometimes that slap on the hand or that challenge in your life is really God saying, it's okay, let go. I know you can't handle this. I know you can't do it on your own, but I can do this for you. You know, the Apostle Paul dealt with this on a regular basis. Did you know that in Scripture, the Bible describes the Apostle Paul as having a thorn in the flesh that wouldn't go away? As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul on three separate occasions prayed for this thorn in the flesh to go away. Now, these weren't just three back-to-back prayers. These were three seasons in his life where he was dealing with this infirmity or this challenge that he had. Some theologians want to speculate that maybe his eyesight was going. Some theologians speculate that that he had chronic headaches or migraines that he was dealing with. And so these were seasons in his life where they went away, but then they came back. These were seasons in his life where he was ongoingly begging for these things, pleading with God for these things to go away. He had people praying for him, but they were an ongoing challenge. I've got a thorn in the flesh. Some of you probably experience that as well. My thorn in the flesh just happens to be kidney stones. Every once in a while, from time to time, I'll have a kidney stone attack. I've been told by my doctors that I'm a producer and that there's really little about my diet or little remedy for this. I'm just a producer. And so every couple of years, or sometimes they come in multiples in one year, I've got to deal with kidney stone pain. And I will tell you, it's not anything that I would wish on my worst enemy. And so oftentimes when I'm pacing back and forth in the bathroom with no relief, no position that you can get in to have any kind of relief from the pain, I'm crying out to God. And then oftentimes I wind up on the floor in the fetal position with my thumb in my mouth because that's all that I can think to do. But I'm praying, I'm talking to God, I'm calling on his presence. I'm even getting frustrated with God. God, take this from me. Why am I dealing with this pain? It's too much for me to bear. I can't handle this all on my own. And some of you have been there in your life. It's my thorn in my flesh. And you might have a thorn in your flesh, a challenge that just continues and it continues to happen in your life. And you're praying to God, oh God, would you take this away from my life? And maybe for you, it's chronic depression, or maybe it's a chronic rebellious child in your life, or an adult child that's gone on a wayward path, or for you, it's infertility, or for my mom, it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, or maybe for you, you're behind financially constantly, and it just seems to be that thorn in your flesh. Maybe for you, it's a broken marriage, and you guys can never just ever seem to be able to come together. Maybe it's kidney stones, maybe it's migraines. I don't know what it is for you, but we all have this thorn in our flesh that keeps coming around. For my daughter Isabel, it's aperts, and our family deals with that with her alongside of her, and we ask God to remove this thorn. And we know that he can, but he doesn't. And he allows it to happen. And we say, God, why won't you take this from me? Why, I can't handle this anymore. And that's exactly the moment where God's power spoke into Paul. And Paul comes to this realization when, after he's done asking God to remove this thorn from his flesh. Here's what happens in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 12 in 2 Corinthians as he writes this letter to the church at Corinth. But he said to me, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul then writes, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and in insults and in hardships and in persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, that's where I am strong. When I am weak, that's where I am strong. And so you actually have Paul here who's saying, I am delighting in the hard stuff. I'm delighting in the pain and the challenges and the trials. I'm delighting in feeling powerless because this is the opportunity for me to tap into the spirit, the supernatural and spiritual power of God. And it's there in my weaknesses that I get to discover God's grace. It's there that I get to experience his profound love and have it be sufficient for me. His supernatural power, to have it be sufficient for me. And he gets a chance to experience his supernatural work that goes beyond all logic and goes beyond all reason. And if you're ever going to experience the miraculous power of God, you need a problem in your life because miracles necessitate a problem. As a matter of fact, if you don't have a problem, you're never going to experience God's miracles. So if you have big problems, you can expect that God's going to produce big miracles in your life. We spent a whole sermon series on this back in January and also February. And it's in this moment where God has us right where he wants us, an opportunity for us to experience his unconditional love and his ever-covering grace. And we get to realize all over again that the Spirit of God resides in us that raised Jesus from the dead. That Spirit dwells in us and guides us and leads us. And so we can say that when we are weak, when we can't go on, that's when we're strong. That's when we experience the power of God. Oftentimes, every once in a while, on Saturdays, when I'm getting myself ready to preach the next morning, you know, maybe something will happen in life or I'll get distracted and there'll be challenges and I'm not at my best. And there'll be moments where stuff's happening at the church or something happens when I get there Sunday morning. And I just know that I'm not on my best with God, my best game. And so I'll just cry out to God in my prayer time before I get up there to preach. Say, God, I don't have what it takes today, but I know you do. I need you in my life. Holy Spirit, come and speak for me. Use your words to guide me and lead me today. And I get up there and I preach, and here's what I discover. Here's what I discover on those days. Those are the days where you guys come to me afterwards and say, man, God really spoke to you through that sermon. And I'm looking at you and you don't even know it. I'm thinking, are you serious today? Because I didn't have my best. And I cried out to God today and I said, oh Lord, I've got more than I can handle today. I'm feeling weak. God, take this moment from me and have this. You see, here's what happens. Is that when we go through difficulty and trials in our life, it's when we cry out to God. And in those moments when we feel weak, that's when God has a chance to show up and to show off and to be strong and to perform a miracle. But it requires us to let go of the grip that we have on our life and control and to step into the power of God. And when we do that, we work hard like it depends on us, but we need to pray like it depends on God. Here's the promise from God today. You will get more than you can handle. Praise be to God, because then that means we need the God of the universe actively involved in our life. And God doesn't want you to be independent of Him. He wants you to be dependent of Him. He wants you to be dependent on Him, where you're saying, I can't get this done on my own. I can't do life on my own. And His power comes in you to get the things done that needs to happen in your life. And you discover that it is in your weakness that you become strong. So if you're in a valley, if you have a thorn in your flesh, if you're going through a storm, the chances are you have a chance to grow closer to God, and God is trying to draw you closer to Himself. Depend on Him. Experience more of His power, because you will get more than you can handle. If you're a foster parent, you're going to get more than you can handle. If you're raising teenagers, you're going to get more than you can handle. If you make a commitment to invest yourself in a ministry in the church, you're going to get more than you can handle. If you find yourself married, you're going to get more than you can handle. If you're working your way through school, you're going to get more than you can handle. If you're playing a sport or you're in a club and you're trying to do academics as well, you will find that you will discover that you have more than what you can handle. And when you're in that moment, remember that when you are the weakest, God is the strongest in your life. We need God, and we need His power in our life, and we were never created to do life on our own. We were never created to go it alone. God today wants to teach you dependency. Dependency on His power, on His grace, and on His love. And when we live in that moment, we will discover that His grace is sufficient for us, like it was for Paul. Praise be to God. Here are a couple of action steps for you real quick. Number one, cry out to God in dependency and holy anticipation this week in whatever challenges it is you have. And in that challenge, number two, pray not why, God, why is this happening to me? Why isn't this happening to somebody else? But rather pray what? God, what are you wanting to do in the middle of this storm? Lord God, how are you wanting to draw me closer to you? And how are you drawing yourself closer to me? Ask the how question and don't get buried, or the what question. Don't get buried in the why question. We may not know why, but we know maybe the what of what God is trying to do as we give more of ourselves to God. Praise be to God.